At school, the children had their class picture taken, and the teacher was trying to persuade each of the children to buy a copy of the group picture. She said, "Just think how nice it will be to look at it years from now when all of you are grown up and say, 'There's Jennifer, she's a lawyer.' Or 'There's Michael, he's a doctor.' That's Susie, she's a nurse." And a small voice came from the back of the room and said, "And there's the teacher, she's dead." So let's take a look at somebody that Jesus rose from the dead. And his name is Lazarus. Lazarus was one of the closest friends with the Lord. The Lord was very close to this family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They lived in Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem. The Lord would always stay at their house anytime he was in the area of Jerusalem. And so there were three in that family, two sisters and a brother. It reminds me of my own family because I'm in the middle of two sisters. My older sister is like Martha. She's gets a lot of things done. My younger sister is a little bit more easygoing and laid back, more like Mary. And so I'm sort of, obviously, the only boy in the family. So it's a similar situation. You have Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And the Lord was very close to them. And it says that Lazarus was very ill. And the sister sent word, "Master, the one that you love is ill." Again, notice how much he cared for this family. And what does Jesus say? He says, "This illness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God. And God will be glorified, and the Son of God will be glorified as well." And it says, again, Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. But notice he did not come immediately to cure him. And this is a good example in the Bible why God doesn't always answer our prayers. You hear this a lot. "Well, I've been praying to God. Why doesn't he answer my prayers?" Bishop Sheen says there's always three answers to prayer. God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says keep praying or wait. And that's how it is in our life as well. Sometimes there's a yes, sometimes there's a no, and sometimes he just wants us to keep praying because maybe he wants to develop something in us, to develop our virtue. So he wants us to persevere in prayer. But notice why he did not answer this prayer of the sisters, was that he was allowing something bad to happen to ultimately bring about a greater good. God was even allowing the death of Lazarus to bring about a greater good, namely raising him from the dead and having people believe in the power of God and to give glory to God at the raising of this man from the dead. And then he describes Lazarus as being asleep. And the apostles think, well, if he's sleeping, that means he's going to be okay. But the Lord said, no, it means he's dead. And that's an interesting point. Again, Bishop Sheen says that perhaps that's how God looks upon death. It's that we fall asleep in this world and awake in the next world. So he refers to death as a falling asleep. In fact, later at this Mass, when I say the Eucharistic prayer, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep, that they may share in the glory of the resurrection. It's a common term, but that's really how God looks at death. It's like we fall asleep, but our soul awakes in the next world. So then Jesus clearly says, Lazarus has died. And then Jesus says, let us go to him. The apostles realize that if the Lord goes this close to Jerusalem, his life is in danger. And so they say, don't go to Jerusalem. They just tried to stone you. Don't go. But Jesus, of course, was willing to go. And Thomas says, let us also go with him to die with him. See, they all realized that the Lord's life was in jeopardy, but they were willing to even go and lay down their life with him as well. So they finally get to Bethany, and now Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And it says when Martha heard Jesus was nearby, she came running out to him at the edge of the village and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But still I know whatever you ask of God, he will give you. So Jesus assures her, your brother will rise. And then Martha obviously understands about the resurrection at the end of time and says, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Then Jesus gives to her some of the most comforting words in the whole Bible. We hear this at many funeral masses. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Isn't that a comforting message for those who have lost a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a child, a grandchild, a family member? That Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that those who believe in him will never die, but will live forever. Notice today, Jesus says, he is the resurrection and the life. Last week, he told the man who was born blind that I am the light of the world. And the week before that, he told the woman at the well, I am the living water, which will well up in you for all eternity. So these last 3 weeks have been very beautiful gospels. One, the woman at the well who was thirsty, he promises her living water. Last week, the blind man, he promises that he will be the light of the world. And now, for those who have lost a loved one, he promises to be the resurrection and the life. And Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. Well, finally, she sends word to her sister Mary, who's praying in the house. She comes out to meet Jesus and says the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Mary began weeping, and the crowd began weeping. And it says, one of the shortest verses in all of Scripture, and Jesus wept. And so, what's so beautiful about this gospel is it shows us the humanity of Christ and the divinity of Christ. The humanity of Christ, he's truly God and truly man. Jesus weeps. He has emotions. He feels the pain of these sisters losing their brother. But now we see the divinity. He's going to raise him from the dead. So they go to the cave, and it was a hollowed out cave with a large round stone rolled across it. And Jesus says, take away the stone, roll away the stone. And Martha says, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. I actually prefer the old English version of the Douay Rheims. It says, by now he stinketh, O Lord. But anyway, they roll away the tomb, and Jesus prays to his heavenly Father, and he says, Lazarus, come out. And this dead man became alive again. And he came out tied up in these bands of burial cloth with one on his face and his hands and feet. And Jesus says, untie him and let him go. So this again is such a comforting reading for those who have lost loved ones. Because we know that their death, their falling asleep, is not permanent. That they, we believe, of course, are with the Lord. And we pray for them. And we ask them, of course, to pray for us as well. So this is very comforting. And then I also think it really applies to confession. Because in confession, the priest is God's instrument to raise the dead. People can go to confession. They might have been away for 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, or 50 years. Maybe their soul is dead in sin. Maybe they're in the state of mortal sin. Well, when they go to confession to the priest is the representative of Christ and says the words, I absolve you from your sins. And he gives absolution. Just as Jesus says, Lazarus, arise, the priest says, I absolve you from your sins. And Jesus forgives that person's sins. And that soul receives sanctifying grace again. That soul, in a sense, comes back to being alive with God's grace. And again, receives sanctifying grace. And so the person goes into the confessional, maybe dead in mortal sin. He comes out alive. He's resurrected. And so every Saturday afternoon, that's our hobby, is raising the dead. That's what we do every Saturday afternoon. Tomorrow night, we'll have 16 priests here hearing confessions. Take advantage of how easy that will be. We invite the 16 nicest priests from Washington, Maryland, and even some from Virginia. And we have wonderful priests, and we will be raising the dead. will be absolving sins in the name of Christ, and you'll be able to be restored to sanctifying grace, or even if you're already in a state of grace, that's even better, and go to confession to get rid of those little sins, the venial sins, the sins that keep us from loving God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. So come to confession tomorrow night. We have about 16 priests, and you can experience this beautiful gift of being, in a sense, spiritually raised from the dead. And one last point about the statues being covered. As you know, on the fifth Sunday of Lent, the church has a tradition of covering the statues, which again represents the passion and death of Christ. And on Easter, all of the coverings come off, which again symbolizes the resurrection. So even the statues being covered now ties in with the gospel of them being shrouded, in a sense, entombed, and then to remind us of the death of Christ. But on Easter, they will be resurrected, and so even these images will reveal the beauty of the Lord's resurrected glory.